Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Aren't you glad it doesn't depend on what kind of mood he's in? I'm glad he's in a good mood all the time. All the time. Well, who brought their Bibles this morning? You know, just talking to my wife here the last couple of days, it's kind of amazing how not hot this summer's been. I mean, not hot. Compared to previous summers, this one has been cake. I haven't seen a lot of 118s or 120s recently, so we'll hope they don't decide to hit us in September. Anyway, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We've been in the middle of a series. We call them our core values. They're really core values for every human being that's on the planet that is a new creation. And we've done our best to try to get over the thought process of Father that, you know, we think kind of segregated, if I can use that term, in the body of Christ. We think about us believers and them unbelievers. But I want us to reframe our thinking and our thought processes to understand that there really is, it's divided into two species of human beings. There's natural man and there's new creation man. How many understand that? The Word says in 2 Corinthians that all those that have made Jesus the Lord of their life and the Spirit of God lives on the inside of them, they are new creations, and that the old way of functioning as a natural man is gone. And all things have become new. It's a totally different system. And in fact, really, it's really the system that the entire human race was created to function in. And that is living as a whole human being. You know, a lot of folks would define being whole as, well, I'm emotionally whole, or I'm whole in some other way, but The Word of God tells us that living whole is really living from all three parts of your being. You're living out of your spirit, your soul, and you're living in a physical body. See, natural man lives in his mind and his emotions, that's his soul, and he lives in his physical body. Everything that comes into him as far as information, everything that he runs his life off of is based on his five physical senses and the input that those faculties receive. And he makes decisions based on those things. But as a new creation man, as a whole human being, and it's something that the Word says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, that those who are led or by are being led by the Spirit of God in your spirit, they are the mature ones of God. The Greek word there is weos. It says sons in your translation, but it is the word weos, and it means mature. I love what Greg had mentioned last week about the ceremony that took place between when a son was placed. We use the word adoption. It's It's not talking about adopting a child that didn't belong in the family, and now he is. It's actually talking about, as Greg brought out last week, it's talking about a son that grows up in the house, and at a certain age, he's brought before all of the family, friends, and all of the business associates of the father, and the father declares in front of everyone, this man is now equipped and authorized to run my business. And that's what it means when the word says that in Romans 8:14, where those who are by the Spirit of God being led, they are the mature ones. They're the weos. They're the ones that got placed to run the family business. Can you see that? So when we talk about living as a whole human being, we've got to understand that obviously everybody is in a different process. You know, and I get that, okay? I get that we're all in a different process. Okay, and everybody, it doesn't matter where you start, as soon as you're a new creation, you're in that process. And our job and our responsibility as a new creation is to learn how to live less and less like a natural human being and more like a new creation. Okay? And so the core value that we're speaking of at this stage in our series is learning to live from the inside out. Everybody say the inside out.
The inside out.
Which means you live in spirit attentive. Now, for the sake of ones that may not have seen these, I want to go through these, because I sat down with an individual one time and I was talking to them. Basically, they were talking about managing the natural man. You know, if I can get good at managing the natural man, then I'll never make a mistake, and I'll get all of these things that are contaminating my life and everything. I'll get them out of my way, and I'll be successful. And I asked him. I said, "So what you're basically speaking of now? You're speaking of managing the natural man." Oh no, I wouldn't say that. Yeah, that's exactly what you're saying. Because man is created to live not from his mind or his emotions, he's or from his natural impulses. He's designed to live as a whole human being out of his spirit. And unless you're a new creation, you can't do that. So then we see the importance of why we call it being born again or born from above, but why that's such a crucial piece of the puzzle. Folks, it's not religion, and it's not my beliefs. It's a fact that it's the greatest business transaction that Father through Jesus did for the entire human race, to get them to be able to unhook from being a natural man and living in their real person. Because you are a spirit, you have a mind, and you have a will and emotions, and you live in a physical body, but the real you is your spirit. So unless we understand that we are a spirit, and that's really who we are, and that's our true identity, and we understand that if that is our true identity, then our true identity really is not anything that this natural system has tried to press you into to tell you this is who you are. Your real identity is who Daddy said you were before you were ever existed on this planet. So let's go through this, just run through some scriptures real quick. I just want to show you some things. Second Thessalonians 5:23. You can either write these down or you can go to them, or you can come up here on the screen, whatever. Second Thessalonians 5:23, Paul makes the statement, and he tells us that the real you, the whole you, whole, is you in your spirit, your soul, and your body. That's the real you. The natural system in the earth doesn't train you to live out of your spirit. It trains you to live out of your mind and out of your emotions. But a man was not created to live out of his mind and his emotions. He was created to live out of his spirit with his mind and emotions submitted to that. That's why it's so important. If you know, you've got to stay in the Word, because the Word trains your mind how to think like your spirit, so that your spirit has preeminence and your mind submits to those things that are coming out of your spirit by the Spirit of God. It's not a religious thing. It's not something where you have to do this because you're a Christian. No, it's called, we're learning how to live in the unseen world that we don't see with our physical eyes. You got that? Because Paul said there's a nether world that the natural eyes does not see. And I've said this before, why is it that we're only willing to acknowledge that man is a spirit after one has died? That's the only time natural man is willing to concede that, okay, well, man is a spirit. They'll say things like, well, they went to a better place. Wait a minute, I thought they were laying in that box. So there is somebody else besides what you're seeing then. Well, that person has always existed. They were here before they left. They were here. Because that's the real them. And likewise, you have a real you. So, what did I say? 2 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians. It's good you guys are listening. I pretty much just read it, actually, but... What did I say? I said both. Somebody in the front row here is listening. 2 Thessalonians. I knew that. I was just checking you guys. 2 Thessalonians. 5:23. Okay, y'all are playing games with me now, aren't you? Ushers, just get them out of here. Oh. Sorry, yes, I read the verse anyway. Let's move on. May the Spirit of the Lord sanctify you wholly or completely, spirit, soul, and body. That's what it says. So, anyway, it's probably up on the screen. It's not on the screen, but anyway. Go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. I won't go through all these because there's a bunch, but what I want to show you is this. We've got to frame this thing called the gospel in the correct frame, that it has to do with man as a spirit. Otherwise, you let the religion of man frame it, and then now you're off on a different direction, and you're off focusing on things that you really don't have any business focusing on. Jesus did what he did, not so he could have a bunch of zealot people that are following the letter of the law and making everybody else mad. But they have no life in them. He did what he did so he could reconnect natural man back to a resident that God can live in. In fact, you could say it like this. The gospel is about restoring the sons of man back to the sons of God. Did you hear what I just said? The gospel is to restore the sons of man back to the sons of God. I'll say it one more time. The gospel is the restoring of natural man, the sons of man, back to the sons of God, who they were created to be. I said what? Luke chapter 8? Luke chapter 8. Look at verse 49. While he was speaking, someone came from the house of the synagogue with the officials. Of the official, this is Jairus, his daughter died, and they said, "Your daughter's died, so don't trouble the teacher anymore." But when she heard this, when he heard this, he answered and said, "Do not be afraid any longer, only believe, and she'll be made well." When she came to the house, he did not allow anyone to enter except Peter, James, and John, the girl's father and mother. They were all weeping and lamenting for her, but he said, "Stop weeping, she's not dead, she's only asleep." And they began to laugh at him, knowing that she had died. He, however, took her by the hand and called, saying, now listen to this. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think Jesus knows the makeup of a human being? Good answer. Verse 55 says, He said, "Child, arise," and her spirit returned. So we see there as an example that man is a spirit. Now Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. Look at verse 59. This is a stoning of Stephen, and notice what Stephen said. In 59, they said they went on stoning Stephen, and he called to the Lord and said, "Lord Jesus, receive my mind." Is that what he said? He said, "Receive my spirit." He remembered on Jesus on the cross. It says he yielded up his spirit. Now go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. This will be the last one I'll look at. There are more, but I don't want to go through the time to go through all of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Says, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the mind of the man?" Is that what it says? What's it say? The spirit of a man. So you can have thought processes in your thought life. And your spirit knows the motives why you have those thoughts. So because the real you is your spirit. You know, no matter how much you try to say, "Well, you know, I wasn't thinking that. Your spirit knows the inside story on that. Because you are a spirit, you have a mind, and you live in your physical body. So now go back over to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. The core value, one of the core values that we need to develop in as new creations is learn how to live from the inside out. Being spirit attentive. And that is with a small s, because the big S lives in your small s. Amen? Did you get that? The big S lives in your small S. All right. So Ephesians chapter 6. You know, when I was growing up in church, I read these verses, and we really didn't know what to do with these verses. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 18. It says, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times, in your mind." Is that what it says? No, it says pray at all times in the spirit. Big S, small s. My translation says big S, but how many know if you're a new creation, if it's saying big S, it's in your small s. Right? Because Holy Spirit lives in your spirit. So he's saying, as a new creation, we're to have the ability to pray and petition and pray at all times, at all times. Do you mean I can pray when I'm working? Yep. You mean I can pray when I'm reading a book? Yep. Does all mean all? Yep. Pray with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, I love the way the NASB reads it, NASB. "With this in view, be on the alert and all perseverance and petition for all the saints." In other words, with what in view? With you paying attention to what's in your spirit, what's going on in your spirit. The interesting thing about the book of Ephesians, the letter of Paul wrote to the Ephesians is, if you back it up just slightly, how many know about the armor? Everybody talks about putting the armor on. You know, and I've heard the thought process, you know, I put the armor on every day. Can I ask you a question? When did you ever take it off? Because he's not really talking about putting the armor on every day when he gets to this. What he's actually saying is, if you'll go through these, and I'll point it out to you just a little bit here, the armor is kind of an index for the entire letter. Each facet of the armor is actually, I mean, I know that the letter of the Ephesians was divided up by men into chapters. So I can't necessarily say that every piece of armor is a specific chapter, because men divided it into chapters, and sometimes they're a little bit off as far as the subject that each chapter will be talking about. But I promise you that if you go through these pieces of the armor, for instance, he talks about having stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Well, so where is that a reference to in this letter? Well, if you go back to Ephesians chapter 1, what is the truth and the foundation that everything else in this letter is built on? It's built on the truth of the fact that before the foundation of the world, you had an identity. And that identity was in God. The identity of man has always been designed to be in God and not in anything else. The problem is when a baby is born into the earth, he learns how to be a natural human being by the system that's in the earth. It trains him how to be led by what he sees. It trains him how to be led by what he hears. It trains him how to be led by his emotions, how he's feeling. It trains him how to be led by everything externally. So then, in likewise, the system begins to mold and press and put an identity on a human being that really isn't necessarily their identity. It's just the identity that the system in the world has put upon them, and they take that and say, well, this is just who I am. No, it's not just who you are, because you had an identity before you came into this planet. Your identity was in Jesus, because he is the original prototype of what man was supposed to be. The way Jesus, when he was in the earth as a man, the way he functioned under the leading and the direction of the Spirit of God, he was demonstrating this is the prototype of man. This is how man was supposed to function. So every human being from the time that Jesus was raised from the dead, every human being really needs to come to the place where they understand you're not just saying Jesus is Lord because this is a religious thing and we're supposed to believe this way. You're saying Jesus is Lord because, as Hebrews points out, that Jesus the man is also Jesus, or the one that created, through him all things were created. So not only as the second member, as Lord, the second member of the Godhead, Genesis chapter 2, the Lord God, created all things, and then he came into the earth as a human being, and he took ownership of all things as a man to secure the place of man, fulfilling Psalms chapter 8. What is man that you're mindful of him, that you crown him with glory and honor? Jesus was crowned with glory and honor as a man. And he therefore secured that seat for every human being on the planet. The only difference between you as a new creation man and a natural man is you found out and they don't know. If you look at Ephesians chapter 1, what is the truth that's supposed to be girt around our loins? Well, it's supposed to be the fact that, number one, that the Father blessed you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Before there was ever an earth, before there was anything natural to stamp on you what you are and who you are, your Father, the Father of spirits, has an identity for you. And that's who you really are. And part of that identity is the fact that he chose to see you holy and blameless in his sight. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. And then it moves on down and it talks about that you were sealed in him with the Spirit of promise. These are the truths that you're supposed to strap around your, you know, the loin belt held every other thing in place. So what does that mean? Well, if we don't have this truth down, the fact that who you are, even before you came into the planet, the identity in the mind of Father, because the Word says he knew your end before there was a beginning. So if he knows the DNA of a human being and he knows you specifically, Jesus, when he came into the earth, said he knows the very numbers of every hair on your head. He knows which numbers you've lost. The number, the specific number. He knows all of that. Then he knows who you are really as a human being. He knows who you are is your identity in him. He knows who you are. And so the truth that we strap around our waist as the loin belt is the truth of that. And then he goes on to say in Ephesians 6, he talks about the other pieces of the armor as examples. He says, you gird around yourself the loin belt of truth. What is the loin belt of truth? The truth of the fact that you have an identity before the foundation of the world. And then he goes on to say, he says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Where does he talk about that? Well, like I said, the chapters aren't really exactly broken down as accurately according to this index, but if you'll keep reading, you'll find in chapter 2 that you were dead in your trespasses and sins. You formerly walked according to the course of the natural world, according to the prince of the power of the air. But then he says, but because of his love, he said, you were, by nature, you were angry children. But because of his great love with which he loved us, he made you alive together with Christ. He raised you up and he seated you with him. Now he just got done talking at the end of chapter 1 where he's seated. So then chapter 2 says he seated you with him. What is he speaking of? Let me ask you a question. Do you sit at the right hand of God if you're not righteous? It's not a trick question, folks. No. So you understand, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, that's supposed to remind you of the content of what he has previously written. See, because really what he's saying here, by the time he gets done saying, having done all, he's expecting that you've already done all. That you've already put all these things on. You've already taken them in. You've already assimilated them into your understanding, into your practice, into your life, into your perspectives. Because then he ties it all together and says, now, having done all of this and having put on the breastplate and having had the loin belt of the truth around your waist, and then he goes on to talk about, you know, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean? Well, somewhere in this letter, you know, really it's before chapter 3, but he talks about the fact that there's one body and that Jesus is our peace, and he broke down the division between classifications and sects of men. S-E-C-T. Right? So we're not to look at ourselves segregated. We're not going to say, well, you're this and I'm this, and well, you're that and I'm that. You know, in his day, it was you either Jew or a Gentile. And what he's saying is, because of what Jesus did, he broke that division down. There is no more Jew or Gentile. There's no bond or free. There's no male, female. There's not different classifications of people. And you're not to look at yourself differently than someone else, or look down at your nose at somebody else because you feel like you sit up a little higher. So you have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. There's nothing missing or broken in anybody, because we're all one body and we all function from one head. It's interesting that the sandals that the Roman soldiers wore, depending on their role and their position in battle, they had anywhere from 3 to 6 inch spikes. They weren't those little geeky sandals that, you know, they go up to your knees and you see them in the movies, and they're just flat. They had spikes on them 3 to 6 inches deep, and you were trained how to. I mean, if you were hand-to-hand combat, you had 6-inch spikes. And you'd plant yourself, and you ain't moving. So the other dude's got to go down because you're not moving. He's not going to knock you off your feet. He's not going to do any of that stuff because you're planted. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What? What is he saying? He's saying, in light of the fact that Jesus made in at the beginning, at the end of chapter 2, in verse 15, he abolished in his flesh the enmity or the division, and he made the two, speaking of Jews and Gentiles in this text, or Jews and non-Jews, one new man. So we're to function from that place and not get pulled over into seeing division in your thought process. Unfortunately, for so many folks, that hasn't been the case. Because the religion of natural man came in and immediately segregated the mindsets of people. Well, we're men, we run things. You women, you just sit in the chairs. And you can't talk. Don't say anything. Because we're running things. You know. But that's not at all what the scriptures is trying to get over to us as the body of Christ. You say, what does this have to do with living from the inside out? It has everything to do with living from the inside out, because if you get this mess out of your head, you can hear what's going on in your spirit a lot better. Because all this other stuff is just noise. And it'll affect the way you hear. It'll affect the way you interpret what you're getting. All of these things, if you don't understand, you know, part of the biggest part of what keeps new creations from living the life that Jesus bought for them is they don't even get past the loin belt of truth. They can't look in the mirror without feeling bad about themselves. They can't think of themselves without hearing brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or co-worker so-and-so or mama or daddy so-and-so saying certain things, and it sticks with them their whole life, and so they just can't get past that. When that's not, why don't you listen to what your daddy says? Again, the reason why we want to stay in the Word, because it gives you, it teaches your mind how to think like a new creation and not be subject to the stuff that's in the natural system. Does this make any sense to you guys? So we want to have our loins girt about with the belt of truth. Interesting that the loins in other places in Scripture refer to your emotions. Your emotions. Peter said, gird up the loins of your mind. What is he saying? Get your emotions in check and cause them to submit to the truth that's revealed by the Spirit of truth. So he talks about the loin belt, talks about the breastplate of righteousness. We're seated in heavenly places with him. The end of chapter 1 says that everything is under our feet, and that we're the fullness of him. We're the fullness of him. That's all part of the understanding of the breastplate of righteousness. See, this isn't just theology we're supposed to just know and say, oh, I know that, oh, I know that. We're supposed to implement this in our life, because every time you implement these things and you make this a part of who you are, then you're clearing out the mess that would be in your thought processes that would cause, you know, you ever tried to tune into a radio station? And it's like, you know it's there, but there's all this static in the way. And it's just like, well, now it's all digital, but, you know, a few years ago, you know, you could turn a knob and, you know, you had to get just right to get the exact, just pinpoint the station. That's really what he's talking about. When the reason that the scriptures tell us to implement things in our life, it's not because we're supposed to live by do's and don'ts. It's because we're supposed to make sure that the receiver doesn't get a bunch of white noise. So we can't make out what's going on in our spirit by the Spirit of God. So that's just some examples. I don't want to go through all of them, but Ephesians 6. Well, I'll go through one more. Remember that shield of faith? Well, we seem to look at that all the time. We look at it like it's a shield of faith, and we just focus on faith. But the reality of it is, if you go to the end of your letter, go to the very last verse of your letter, it says, verse 23, chapter 6, peace be to the brethren, and what? Love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. Because you can't separate love from faith. In fact, the word says that faith functions and operates through love operating. So when we're talking about faith, we can't just say faith. We have to talk about faith through love operating. And so that's why if you go back into the letter, you'll find by the time you get to chapter 4, he's talking about, therefore, prisoners of the Lord, implore you to walk in the manner worthy of the calling which you've been called, which is what? Chapter 1. With all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. And it goes on to talk about, you know, guarding the unity of the Spirit. That's still keeping your shoes on. And don't see division in people, and don't see things missing or broken in people. Jesus said it like this. If you find that you're finding people with a bunch of splinters in their eyes, you have a log in yours. In fact, the splinter that came, that you're seeing in somebody else's eye, really came from the log that's in yours. So remove the log, and all of a sudden the splinters don't exist. That was a paraphrase. But that's what Jesus was speaking of. And so, as a new creation, we see it in the context of living in one body, with one head, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who lives through all and is in all. So, we understand that to live as a new creation, to live attentive to what's going on the inside, we have to understand that, A, man was created to live in God from before the foundation of the world. B, Jesus created the ability for man to be free from living as a son of man and get to be a son of God once again. And as a son of God, we don't see missing and broken in people. I'm saying that in light of, in a bad way. Okay, by the Spirit of God, if He shows you things, then you minister to those things, and that's all part of being Spirit attentive. But we want to make decisions, and we want to minister to people based on what's coming out of our spirit, not what's coming out of our mind. Because if you minister what's coming out of your mind, and by out of your mind I mean pre-programmed stuff, then you're probably not going to hit the target. It may sound good, but it won't deal with that specific thing that's going on with them. Do you understand what I mean when I say that? We are masters at reading everybody's book and then regurgitating it when we're in front of somebody else because we think, well, they need to hear this. Yeah, but is it what they need right that minute? In fact, Paul deals with that. Go over to chapter 4, which really coincides with at all times praying in the Spirit. He says in chapter 4, look at verse 25, therefore lay aside falsehood, speaking truth each one to his neighbor. We are members of one another. So there's that one body. There's your shoes. You got your shoes of peace on. He says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with one another in need. Now look at the next verse. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. Now if we stopped there, we would simply be people that are living out of a code of conduct. But as I said, the reason why the Spirit of God is having us to stay away from this kind of activity and these kinds of perspectives, but adopt these kinds of perspectives and these kinds of activities, it is all because it all centers around and revolves around how efficient we're going to be in living from the inside out, out of our spirit, instead of out of our emotions or our own thought processes. The reason he says to let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth is because he wants you to only bring out those words which are good for building people up according to the need. Now your translation may say this, of the moment. Can you say, being spirit attentive? Can you imagine, if we understand that our job as new creations is, number one, stay out of the arena of living like a natural man. What do? Natural men preload their minds with all kinds of junk. They preload their minds with all kinds of opinions. They preload their minds with all kinds of things, and then when they get in front of people, they just push a button and it all comes out. If they're having a disagreement with something, what do? When they're all by themselves, in their mind, they're having the debate. They're having the argument. And then when they get in front of them, so they can remember it all, so then they just regurgitate it. That came out of them. He's saying as a new creation, we're not supposed to function that way. Jesus said it like this to his disciples. When you're standing in front of the magistrates, don't be concerned about what you're going to say. As you're going up to them, as you're going to where they are, or if you're being led or whatever, when you get there, don't having the whole time you are on the way be thinking about, okay, what am I going to say? 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 He says, because my Father who's in heaven, he'll tell you what to say right when you're there. Spirit attentive. Okay, so he's saying here, don't let unwholesome words proceed from your mouth. Why? Because he wants you to keep the channels clear so that you'll speak that word that builds them up according to the need, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, what does he mean by this? So that it'll give grace to those who hear. Now, you've heard me say this once, you've heard me say it 100 times. The grace of God is the working of God's power because of His presence. That's what the grace of God is. If we don't change our perspective on that, and if you study your New Testament, you'll find that everything I'm telling you is exactly so. If we don't change our perspective, then we're gonna read the word grace as mercy. And that's not what it is. There's a Greek word for mercy and there's a Greek word for grace. The religion of natural man has translated grace as to mean mercy, but it does not mean that at all. It has to do with, it's the working of His power, because His presence is there. In Acts it said that by great power the disciples gave demonstration of the resurrection. Why? Because great grace was upon them. Because the presence of God was on them, the power of God was through them. So when we read the word grace of God, what is this verse saying? He's saying, don't let unwholesome words proceed from your mouth, only such as a word that is good for building people up, according to the need. And I know that of the moment is in italics, but let's just keep it in there, because that means, talk about being spirit attentive. We've got to be clued in on what's going on in each situation we live in, to know what to bring up out of our spirit by the Spirit of God, that and only that's going to minister to that need. And the end result of doing that and functioning there is you will give grace to those who hear. You will give the working of His power. The presence of Jesus will follow the words of the Spirit. Do you get this? Am I speaking over your head? If He tells you to say it, then how many know when you say that, His presence is going to rest upon the person? That's what we are new creations for. Because you remember when I told you that the Ephesians says, at the end of chapter 1, it says that Jesus was seated in heavenly places, and Father gave Jesus to the church and said the church is the fullness of Him. So how do we function in the fullness of Him? We function in the fullness of Him because if He says things, we say those things. When love speaks, we speak that. What are we doing? We're staying into the fullness of Him. It's interesting, and I'm going to close here, Bob, in a second. It's interesting, if you look at the layout of Ephesians, there are things in chapter 1 and chapter 2 that He wants you to know, so that when He gets to chapter 3, 4, and 5, you can receive from those things. For instance, He says, notice in chapter 6 here, verse 10, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. And the next word says, put on the full armor. Wrong. In the Greek, it actually means having put on as a completed act. And in other words, by the time I'm saying this, you've already done it. Having put on as a completed act. And not only that, but participating in the results of that act. Having put on the full armor. But He says, finally be strong in the Lord in the strength of His might. That phrase, the strength of His might, already occurred earlier in the letter. Go over to chapter 1. This is the part in verse 17 where it says, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give you a spirit. Now I'm going to read you the idea of the Greek New Testament. Paul's prayer was that your spirit would be given to wisdom and given to revelation in the revelation knowledge that belongs to Him. He wants you to know what Daddy knows. And in knowing what Daddy knows, He wants your spirit to be given to wisdom and given to understanding. Because He wants you to know what He knows. And one of the things He wants you to know is, He says, I pray that the eyes of your heart, I mean, that's speaking of your spirit, may be enlightened so that you'll know, or you'll be knowing on an ongoing, constant basis, what is the hope of His calling and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance, or you could say of His heritage in you. But then He goes on to say, He wants you to know and have revelation about the surpassing greatness of His power that is towards all of us who are believing in accordance with the working of the strength of His might. So He introduces the strength of His might in chapter 1. By chapter 6, He's saying, now, having done all of this, I want you to be strong in the strength of that might. He doesn't say it in so many words, but if you go to Colossians, how many know Colossians is a twin book of Ephesians? Subject content, you could probably lay them side by side and go through them, and he deals the same stuff. Colossians chapter 1 tells you that the way that you receive and walk in the power of God is you walk in the revelations that He gives you from His Word and from His Spirit. The way you walk in the power of God is you walk in those things which He shows you either from His Word or from His Spirit, you know, out and about living life. We step into those things. Every time we step into those things, Paul says that we're demonstrating and allowing them to be proven genuine to us. So as we go through this topic of learning how to live spirit attentive, understand we're not just talking about theology. We're not just talking about, well, this is a good thing to believe. I'll add this to my theology chest. We're talking about the fact that this is where God created a human being to live. Clear out the mess in the head, because it wasn't there before the foundation of the world. Your identity belongs to Him. It doesn't belong to anything else. I don't care what your ethnicity is. I don't care what your family trait is. I don't care anybody about any of that. And I don't mean this in a bad way, guys, but I'm telling you, I thank the Lord that I don't really have a clue my ancestry. I don't care. Because the only ancestry that matters to me, and I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but just understand what I'm saying. The only ancestry that matters to me is the ancestry of my daddy. And who he says I am. And where he says I come from. Because the reality of it is, God created man so God could live in man. And all of that's in the book of Ephesians. So if we understand that we are created for God to live in, and He shows us how to do it, part of that process is learning how to be spirit attentive, praying always out of your spirit. Because having done all, having been walking in the reality that your identity is Him, that He made you righteous, He seated you in heavenly places with Christ because you are righteous, having living in the fact that you don't see division in your thought life between anybody else. I don't care if you came from, you know, $85 million homes and you're looking at somebody that lives in an $85,000 home. You don't see division. Because that stuff clouds your ability to get accurate assessment of what Spirit of God wants to do in any situation, because you're in the way. So he's teaching us in Ephesians how to live this life as a new creation. It's not religious. It's not just a way to believe. It's not any of that junk of the religion of natural man. It is the accurate way a human being was created to function on this planet. God inside. You know the computers have that little sticker, Intel inside? Well, we ought to have stickers, God inside. Because that's how man was created to function. You take God out of man, man's screwed up. He thinks wrong, sees things wrong, he reacts wrong, he says things wrong, everything's wrong, because God's not in there. He's living as a son of man when God created him to live as a son of God.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.